Welcome back to part two of this week's Top Stock Picks. I'm back here with this week's guest, Jordan Roy Byrne. Jordan, before we ended the first segment, you mentioned JDXJ, which is an ETF that holds junior gold stocks, or at least it has that as a goal. But it has caused some dislocations in the market for those shares. And for the sake of listeners who may not be familiar with how that ETF has had such a negative impact on the junior gold share markets, can you explain that problem for the benefit of my listeners?
Yes. The GDXJ has basically become so popular, it's taken in too much money. When all this money comes into the fund has to buy these stocks. And if too much money comes in the fund itself is going to be taking, it becomes too big of an owner of these stocks. In other words, maybe GDXJ owns 5% of something. Well, and then become, then they would have to become a 10 or 11% owner based on all the money that's come in. And then there's, as a shareholder, there's you know, different ramifications when they become a 10% holder, and then even a 20% holder in some cases. And so GDXJ, they want to be a big investor in the sector, but they don't want to be that big. They would just want to have small positions in a bunch of these companies. Mm-hmm. And with too much money coming into the fund, because they don't want to do that and become a massive holder of these companies, they now have to buy even bigger companies. So GDXJ is basically becoming a mid-cap fund. It's no longer a junior fund.
Right.
And Jay, I mean, even to this point, even before all this money has come in, I mean, there's companies in there with, I mean, market caps of $2 billion, $1 billion, $900, $700 million. I mean, those are not junior companies, in my opinion.
No.
Tell me, do you find anything junior about a company with that capitalization?
No, absolutely not, Jordan. And I'm going to ask you about one of yours that you like a lot, Nighthawk Gold. I mean, I'm looking at that one as 186 million market cap or something like that, selling at a market cap of 172 million Canadian. That is closer to it, but even that is large compared to many of the companies that I follow that are more like $20, $30 million market caps, exploration companies. Of course, Nighthawk, well, why don't we just get into Nighthawk? That's one of your picks, one of them that you like a lot. What do you like about Nighthawk?
Just for a second, because I want to make one more comment.
Sure.
With respect to GDXJ, this is why if you're an investor in this sector, you really need to build a basket of your own juniors. Rick Rule has said if you buy the sector, you're going to get killed over time, and I fully agree with that. So people really need to do their own research on individual companies. Mm-hmm. Build your own GDXJ. You can diversify yourself that way, lower your risk a little bit. You're going to do better over time. Now, getting to Nighthawk, Nighthawk, they own the Colimac Gold Project in the Northwest Territories there in Canada. And this project was actually a past producer in the 90s. It had a reasonable amount of production, I think, for about 5 or 6 years. And they already have something like 2.1 million ounces. I think the grade is about 1.7, 1.8. It's open pittable. Mm-hmm. And they've had some good drilling results over the last year, but based on those drilling results, Kinross came in and took a position, a 10% position. That's always a good sign. And Nighthawk did another financing. So, excuse me. So the market cap, as you said, is 185 million, but they actually have 37 million in cash right now. Mm. And their land package is district scale. So they and they'll probably have a resource update maybe at the end of this year or towards the end of this year, and that should come close to 3 million ounces. Maybe they will hit 3 million. But based on all these targets they have and the cash that they have, I mean, this is something that in the next 2 years should be well above 3 million ounces, you know, with potential for 5 million ounces. They have the district scale land package, and in addition to that, they just did some metallurgical tests, and it showed, I think, recoveries of about 96 or 97%, mm-hmm. which is a little bit higher than the recoveries when one of the properties there was in production. And the company was extremely excited. I mean, I think they were quoted as saying it surpassed their expectations as far as, you know, what the recoveries would be from these tests. Now, the stock has had a big run already, and it's been very strong. I'm just holding my position. I mean, it is a big profit. I was fortunate enough to get in, I think, January. If I was on the sidelines, I would still be I would still be patient here. I would wait because the stock could, it could, I mean, if metals prices go down, the stock could consolidate for much of the year. But I mean, if you don't own it, this is one you want to keep on your list and just buy it. Just buy it whenever it corrects 20 or 30%. You know, it probably will happen sometime this year. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's what I like to do. I have a list of my favorite companies that I like fundamentally. And, mm-hmm. but you know, buy the ones that are cheap. And, you know, you hold those, let those run. And when your other stocks get cheap, you know, you buy those.
Jordan, is this Nighthawk, is it a company that might be looking for a takeout? Are they operators? Are they hope to be producers? Or is there strategy to build up? I mean, for $37 million, it can do quite a lot of drilling, I suppose, a lot of exploration and maybe build up the ounces. Do you know if they're looking, if their desire is to be taken out by a major, build up enough ounces that it's attractive to the big boys?
Yeah, definitely. They don't want to be operators.
Okay.
So I wouldn't say it's like an imminent or near term takeout potential, but this is one that, you know, maybe 2 or 3 years from now, if they have 5 or 6 million ounces, mm-hmm. you'd have to think that it would be much closer to a takeout. But I definitely think it's a strong takeover target as far as like 2 to 3 years down the road.
Mm-hmm. All right, and Defiance Silver was another one that you like a lot. 92.3 million shares out. I see trading it today at around 28 cents in Canadian money, giving it a market cap about 26 million Canadian. This is a silver explorer and developer, advanced stage projects in Mexico. I think the San Asio deposit located in the Zacatecas silver district, where a lot of silver has been produced in the past. What attracts you to that one?
Well, right now the valuation and also the fact that our friend Brent Cook, and look, I mean, I have my own expertise as far as technicals and looking at companies a certain way, but when it comes to geology and those types of factors, I talk to other people in the industry.
Sure.
I listen to what the experts are saying, and this company, they did a video with Brent Cook at PDAC, not this year, but the year before, and Brent Cook said that it was an interesting and legitimate deposit. Mm-hmm. So you and I know that Brent Cook is always quick to pan everything is moose pasture.
Yeah,
he doesn't like.
There aren't many things Brent Cook likes. So when he does like something, it's usually worth watching or looking at. And I would just say though that many times Brent likes things when virtually all the risk has been removed, and the upside then a lot of times doesn't remain. But this one still remains a very low cap stock. So if he's saying it,
right.
Before the project is advanced that far. Certainly.
Right. And
yeah.
And to be fair to Brent, I don't want to put more words in his mouth. It's just a point that he's publicly said this is an interesting and legitimate deposit. And his concern for the company, I think at the time, was cash. But they do have a high grade resource so far of about 19 or 20 million, or maybe it's 22 million ounces silver equivalent. But one thing I have to say, this company really hasn't been doing anything for the last 6 or 9 months, mm-hmm. and they're going to have a news release coming up that will clarify why they haven't been doing anything. Basically,
No, you go ahead, Jordan.
Well, I was just going to say, given my view on silver, you know, I'm still cautious. I'm not saying they are going to have probably some news releases coming. I don't know if this will move the stock or not because the silver market is very weak. But this is something, if I'm right and silver makes a big move in 2018, I think this has a chance to be one of the biggest stories as far as junior silver companies. I mean, this is a project they feel that after the next drill campaign, they can get up close to 40, maybe 45 or 50 million ounces. And that, I mean, there's real potential in this project to have 100 or 200 million ounces of silver. And it's just, it's very early stage. They're probably going to have to raise some money soon. I think they'll be able to do that. But this is just something to keep on your radar, because if metals prices turn a lot higher, and silver especially, this company, they'll be able to get the money to do the drilling that they need to do. And I'm confident that they are going to be able to prove up a lot more ounces of silver. And I mean, this, look, if silver does that move and goes to 25 or 26 by the end of next year, I could see this stock at $1.50. mean, this, if silver makes that massive move, this could be, you know, a 5, 6, or 7 bagger stock in a year, 18 months. Now, depending on where you bought it.
Sure.
You know, it's like you said, 28 cents now. Who knows? It could go down to 20 cents. Maybe it only goes to 25 cents. Maybe it's already bottomed. I don't know. But this is something I'm very optimistic on over the next 12 to 18 months. And it's my largest position. I'm holding it. I'll just add.
Okay. Well, that's, you're putting your money where your mouth is, and that's always important to know. Jordan, just a couple of minutes left here yet, but I know we chatted just very briefly at the Metals Investor Forum, and you know, you stated what I think is very obvious, or should be to most people, that you just can't really use technical analysis very well on these little small cap companies. As you just said, Defiance hasn't been doing anything. People lose interest, they trade out, and then all of a sudden they come out with some big news release, and you know, it's like a rocket shot, perhaps, depending on the nature of the news release, if people are paying attention at all to precious metal stocks. What do you look at first? I mean, do you usually look at the fundamentals and then the technicals, or do you look at technicals as a way of trying to determine what might be worth looking at?
Well, when it comes to smaller juniors, Jay, I look less at technicals because of the reasons you mentioned. I mean, maybe on a larger junior that's a little more liquid, I'll look at the chart first. But on these smaller ones like Defiance, for example, I look at market cap, capital structure, you know, how many shares, how much cash do they have, and then the asset. You know, I'll look at the people involved. Excuse me. I'll look at the people involved in the project, in their backgrounds. Mm-hmm. And so all of those types of things. And also, when you get to smaller companies like this, one thing that's extremely important is the retail float. So what percentage of the shares are really in strong hands? And yeah. I think you're familiar with Windermere Capital.
Sure,
Jay?
Sure.
And they actually, they're for lack of a better description, they are Defiance. They own like a 50% position, which is another reason I like it, Jay, because in addition to them, this is a very, very tightly held stock. So when buying comes in, if they have some good news, it's going to rock it up, as you said, versus, I mean, if you look at, I mean, if it was an exact same company, but they had a worse share structure and they didn't really have that kind of tight ownership, then on the same news, maybe that stock only rises a fraction of what Defiance in its current state would do. So, I mean, that's something I also look at. I mean, that is extremely important because that can tell you how quickly a stock will rise or fall. And so especially with smaller juniors, maybe under 100 million or 200 million market cap, you want to get into the ones of course, you want them to have great fundamentals and all that, but one of those important points is the capital structure, the share structure, and the retail ownership. I'd like to see a really low retail flow. So we know that most of the stock is held by strong hands, mm-hmm. basically. People who will buy the shares and they're just going to hold on to them for 2, 3, 4 years versus, you know, retail people, well, as you said, they could just flip in, flip out whenever.
Yeah. No, a very good point. A point well taken. And a lot of times these are people that have really done their homework. These are serious investors that have the wherewithal, the technical people to go out and, you know, and really make a good appraisal of these companies too. So when you have those in those kind of strong hands, financially strong hands, and also, you know, with the other resources to judge and understand these companies, I think that's always a very good point that you made there on that. Well, just one more minute yet before we conclude our discussion today. I have to ask you what your view is on the equity markets. The stocks don't seem to ever want to go down again in the United States, the S&P, let's say, for example. What are your thoughts on equities just in general?
Well, just in general, I think there's a risk of the U.S. equity market kind of going into blow-off mode sometime this year. I know some people have been thinking maybe there's going to be a top at some point this year or maybe early next year. I would look at possibly this October, depending on how strong it is in the summer, you know, maybe early next year, that March-April period. And I think when that happens, that's when you'll see a major catalyst for gold, and then secondly, the entire resource sector. I think that's when we're really going to see things pick up. And the good news, Jay, is that gives us time. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're really getting a second chance this year to really figure out what the best names are, because when this thing takes off, perhaps next year, these juniors will go up, and then they'll keep going up, and then you will have really missed them. So this year is a real second chance, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I'll tell you one thing, Jordan. I'm looking to people like you and other technical analysts to help me figure out when to get out, because if I've ever had a problem in the past, it's not getting out on time. You know, when you get that when you get those big strong increases, and there's liquidity and you can get out of these juniors, then that's the time to do it. But when, you know, and it's not easy, is it?
Yeah, it's impossible. I mean, one strategy I try and use, or I encourage people to look at, is maybe selling a little bit at a time, depending on, you know, what you're trying to achieve, how long you want to hold. But no technical analyst can pick tops and bottoms. I mean, it's impossible. So if something goes up a lot and you want to, you know, you're trying to figure out whether to sell or whatever, I mean, it's always prudent to maybe sell a third, maybe sell a half, and then you could put that money in another idea that's cheaper. So that's how you can reduce your risk, yet still, you know, perhaps ride that stock if it's going to go a lot higher, because nobody can sell out at the top. That's impossible.
No. Well, somebody is lucky enough to do it, but it's just pure luck, I would say. Again, Jordan, it's the dailygold.com, isn't it? Thedailygold.com is where people can go to learn more about your work. And as you say, you provide a lot of free stuff too. So you can get a taste of Jordan Roy Byrne by going to thedailygold.com. Take advantage of his expertise. He really, I do. I read his things. You publish almost every day, it seems, Jordan.
Yes, almost.
I think so. And so there's a lot of goodies there. So thank you very much, Jordan, for being with us. And we'll look to do it again sometime in the next few weeks or so. So all the best, and thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me, Jay.
You bet. Well, folks, that is all the time we have for this week's Top Stock Picks podcast. But next week, I'll be talking to Eric Coffin. He'll be with us. So until then, goodbye, and have a peaceful, happy, and prosperous week.